What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 3 of the Random Thoughts Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremiah Ortega. Welcome. I just wanted to say it's a typical Tuesday, August 25th. I wonder how you all are doing. It's been pretty good. Yeah, here in my neck of the woods, we've been experiencing crazy monsoons. You know, it's been something to behold. I think we've gotten rain every day or almost every other day since the middle of June. It's gone on from June already. We're almost at the end of August. It's been pretty crazy. You know, it's just flooding, flash flooding. We had fires. We had fires like in April and May. So those, they were like huge, colossal fires. We usually don't get those till like later in the year, you know, so the monsoons will combat them. So there's been a lot of flooding, flash flooding. It's been a mess. And I know it's a sin to talk about global warming, but it feels like it's some sort of, something's going on, you know, and, well, we got to do something about it. We're trying to anyway. But until we get a hand on that, we're going to keep seeing these crazy freak storms and just keep coming around. They're terrible. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen crazy lightning storms. I've never seen rain. I've never seen so many cloudbursts. It's just like you could be there waiting in the store. I had to take my mother to the store, my grandmother. All of a sudden, it was like sunny, but there was like a big like a cloud coming in from the side, but it started raining. It started pouring like this crazy sideways rain, and it did it for about 30 minutes. Well, the sun was out completely. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. You know, it's just, I don't mind the rain, and I like it because it's helping improve drought conditions, but it's just, it gets miserable. I mean, we have so much rain, then the sun comes out, you know, hotter than hell, and it feels, just that humid. I'm not used to the humidity. I hate the humidity. I hate feeling like I'm sweating all the time. Like, you're just sweating from everywhere. You're sweating from your neck, your chest, your head. And I have a big head. It's a big head. It's a big fat head. And it has, you know, and just my hair, and it's awful. It's so bad in Albuquerque, New Mexico, when I stay here. I have evaporative cooling, and that is terrible. You want to have refrigerated cooling. You can get refrigerated cooling. You are on cloud nine. But it's just, it's so awful. At night, you have to sleep with a towel over your pillow because you're sweating so much. And even that's uncomfortable. You got to sleep with two or three water bottles with you. You got to drink that much water through the night. I swear, I sweat so much. I can't sleep till about 1, 2 in the morning. And by about 6 in the morning, if it's finally cool, 7, you know, you can finally turn the evaporative cooling down. But Jesus, it's so bad. Well, it's one of the weirdest summers I've ever had. Hopefully we keep getting the rain. I don't mind the rain. I just don't mind the sun. As long as these clouds can stay covered till the evening, that'd be great. You know, don't rain harder than hell and then take off. Keep the cloud around. The cloud is nice. Cover that sun. Oh, and it's just, it feels like it's boiling. You know, you get big puddles of water. Then you get the heat of that sun. You can see all the heat rising. It's, I don't know how you can live in Florida or anywhere else where you have massive amounts of humidity. In the south, you know, they say New Orleans, they say Florida, they say the whole Gulf Coast. You are some special people, and I don't know how you do it. God bless you. God bless your terrible, swampy, terrible weather. But anyways, I was just going to say, just disappointed. A little, not really disappointed, a little underwhelmed. I just had to say, saw the House of the Dragon. The new spinoff for the Game of Thrones is the Targaryen Civil War, the prequel to Game of Thrones. It premiered this last Sunday on HBO, HBO Max. And, come on, what was I going to be? Of course I was going to be a little underwhelmed. Game of Thrones was like one of the best TV shows of the last 20 years. That pilot, especially, was like the best pilot I've seen like that again, 20 years. That's why I'm just going to be fair for all TV times, put it into a time frame. But, you know, the pilot of Game of Thrones, it set up the show perfectly. It set up the villains. It set up the protagonists, the antagonists. It set up this external threat of the White Walkers. They're always lurking in the background. The characters, every character shined. Whether it be Ned Stark, Catelyn Stark, Jon Snow, Robb Stark. We get all these. What is it with this family? Who are these Starks? And what are they? They're not the kings and queens. They're the Wards. And we get the king. We get King Robert Baratheon. We get Cersei. We get the little guy, Tyrion. Tyrion Lannister and all his hoes. We get Jaime Lannister. He's like the big knight in shining armor. We get all these characters. We get Arya. We get the little mischievous, adventurous Arya. We get Bran. We see Bran climbing things. We see the direwolves. There was so much. And then we get Daenerys. Daenerys and her brother across the sea. We find out we see Khal Drogo. We get the Dothraki. I mean, there's so much. We get her wedding. We get them meeting at Winterfell. Then we get the Dothraki Targaryen wedding. Like, so much happened in that pilot episode. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones, you know, you're like, wow. You're just left. You're instantly addicted. You feel like, oh my goodness, what is this? Why have I not read of this? This is so interesting. You're like, this, so much is happening, but the directors, the writers, they made it in a way that it wasn't extremely hard to follow. It was very welcoming to people who weren't familiar with the source material, and I think that's where it shined. It simplified, but not oversimplified, like what's going on, who these people are, what their ambitions are, what their motivations are, and this they just kind of dropped you into the world. And it didn't feel that different from our own world, you know? Like, we have these families, we have family issues. Like with Jon Snow, we saw the conflict of Jon Snow being a bastard, the bastard of Winterfell. We see Tyrion being a little person with how he's disrespected. That whole conversation with Jon Snow and Tyrion was great. And the whole thing, we didn't even see Joffrey. Joffrey didn't talk once. And so we didn't know what the hell's going on with Joffrey. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he a little twerp? Is he a complete little sack of shit? Like we learned later, we didn't know. And that's what I mean. The whole show just launched and it ran. It out the gate running. That's what made that pilot so special. Just the instant connections you could see in your own life. You could feel the characters. You could feel their problems. You could see them. They were relatable. These characters were so damn relatable. And they're British people on a fantasy show. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. You could feel the characters. You could feel their passion. You could see their problems. You could relate to their problems. And you know, you liked them. They were so likable, the likability factor. And that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm getting with the House of the Dragon. It came off kind of cold. It came off a little standoffish. Like, okay, you should know everything. You should know all these characters. You should just be able to jump right in. It's not like they didn't overly introduce anything. They did this little ho-hum at the beginning with that. Well, okay, they set up with who the king was, why he made his cousin the new king. He didn't want his daughter. His daughter felt a little iffed. And then their names, too, that the names are a little inaccessible. Rhaenyra Targaryen, you know, we get all these other Targaryens. Daemon Targaryen is like the main antagonist. He's sent away by the king. I'm pretty sure the king's name is Aerys, but it's so hard to remember their names. Maybe that's why I felt a little disconnection with it, because the names are a little hard. But Rhaenyra is the daughter. She reminds me of Daenerys. She's a little precocious. She's adventurous. She doesn't really want the traditional roles of what a woman has to do. And she wants to lead. She wants to be. She has these leadership qualities, and her dad recognizes that. Her dad recognizes that she, you know, she could be a ruler. She could rule the Seven Kingdoms, and you know that bugs people. And the whole thing was he wanted to have a son in the show. His wife was pregnant. She went into labor. The baby breached. There was a breech birth. They had to. Tried to attempt a C-section. She bled to death. The baby was born, and all of a sudden, the baby just died. They didn't explain how that happened. What happened? They just kind of like went along with it. And so I think it could have been a conspiracy. I think there could have been. They kind of left that open. That it seemed like it could have been a conspiracy to why she died, why she went into labor suddenly. and how the baby died. Like, once they got her, once the mother was dead, they were able to get the baby, and they took the baby, and the king was, you know, he was distraught. His wife had just died. He didn't know what was going on. He trusts these people. Well, who knows if they could have poisoned the baby as well? That's what I was wondering. So, you know, it's a conspiracy to screw up his reign, to screw up his succession, because they know the daughter. Nobody would accept his daughter, but he said, F it anyway. When he went back to a small council, they told him, you got to do something. Sorry your wife's dead, but you got to do something about succession. And the hand of the king, he's Mr. Hightower, and his daughter, Alicent Hightower, he wanted her to, you know, to go and see to the king's needs. I think he wanted her to see if he could have an affair with the king. He could get his own heir on the Iron Throne. And it's a strange thing. The king, Ares, he's got like these weird... He nicked his back on the throne. It was too sharp. He's got this weird open wound. He's worried about his mortality. And so finally in the end, Daemon pissed him off so bad. Daemon's a wild card. Daemon's a Joffrey Jr. Joffrey Sr. He's got these terrible qualities. He's power hungry. He's obsessive. He's vindictive. He doesn't have any good qualities as a king. He spends like crazy. Frequents whorehouses. He'd make a terrible king. And a lot of the small council know it. They're like, they try to keep him away. And then the Valyrian, he's a black guy. He's a black Valyrian. They cast him. He's another, like a relative of the Targaryens. He's related to his sister. He's on the small council as well. And he started to bring this whole idea of bringing his wife back to being queen. And he'd already have an heir, you know, his son. So it's a little confusing, but it was less confusing or less plot and less characters than the pilot of Game of Thrones, but it just didn't grab me. It didn't grab my attention the way the first Game of Thrones did. I don't know what it was. Maybe just seeing how each piece was set up and we only spent time with the Targaryens, it's only going to be Targaryen-centric. Maybe that's why that could be it. That could be why, and even in the Game of Thrones, I thought the Targaryens were like, not the least interesting, but they were kind of like the side piece. This piece that was away, they weren't in the central action for so long, not till the end, you know. And the dragons kind of became an afterthought as well. I was like, okay, we've seen them before. A lot of the budget went to the dragons. They look kind of cool. I mean, there's like a red dragon, there's a yellow dragon, there was like a big black dragon, I guess. There's going to be a bunch of cool different dragons. And I was going to say, by the end of the show, the king, he kind of pushes his brother away. He says, I've given you all these chances. You're my brother. You're my blood. But you're a mess. You're a wreck. You can't be here. You go to the Vale. Go with your wife. And I don't want to see you again. So at the end, it kind of showed him taking off. And then they showed the king, Targaryen, Aerys, making Rhaenyra the rightful heir and the successor. She's going to be the queen, the future queen. But, you know... shit's about to hit the fan. It looks like a civil war is brewing, and I guess that's exactly what's going to happen. And I can tell you, you'll like it. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones, you're obviously going to watch. You're obviously going to enjoy parts of it. I'm just saying, it wasn't a slog. It wasn't boring. It wasn't just mindless dialogue over and over again, brooding by a fireplace. No, there was a lot of action. There's a scene that is just violent action. And I guess Daemon Targaryen, they made him head of the Gold Cloaks, the City Watch, and that was violent, man. They sliced off people's nuts. They put them on the thing. They sliced off arms, legs, limbs, heads. It was pretty violent. You know, typical Game of Thrones type violence. And I think Daemon was doing that to make the king unpopular. He was doing that to make people hate the king, you know, and try to prop himself up later, prop himself up militarily, but show how awful he's treating the poor people. That they could cause a riot, they could cause an uprising. He'd be able to take power in all the chaos. That's my theory, right? You know, just what Daemon's doing, why he's so violent, why he's so evil, why he's acting so evil in the name of his brother, see? That's the only reason he's doing it. In the name of the king, I'm doing all this awful stuff to you. It's not me, it's him. So that kind of makes sense. For his own power, he's very power hungry. And Also, then they had a big jousting tournament. That was pretty cool. But it's with players you don't know. I don't know who this new guy is. Cole was his last name. He's a very good knight. He's from Dorne. And I'm not sure. Like, so they didn't really do a good job of introducing him, giving him any sort of personality other than he's a good fighter. Tristan Cole, I'm pretty sure that's his name. And he's Dornish. That's all we know. No interesting lines. And another problem I had with it, there was no humor. There was hardly any humor. Like, and I was going to say, in the Game of Thrones pilot, there was humor all over the place. Multiple characters just cracking jokes on Jon Snow about his hair. You know, Tyrion cracking jokes about why he's there, about why he hates it, why he makes fun. I mean, maybe fun to Jon Snow again. You know, he's making fun of his brother, his sister. He's not, you know, there's a little bit of levity in the air. That's why Tyrion was great. He was brilliant. He was smart. He was intelligent. But he was funny. And he was a horn dog. He'd go after the whores. He could make a brilliant observation. He could make a brilliant pun. Anything. And, you know, like that's the problem. Like, these shows get too serious. And you're like, oh. Like, sometimes these fantasy shows, like, there was another one, Nightfall. I was thinking, Nightfall was so... It had potential, but it was so boring. It was about the knights of the Middle Ages. It wasn't necessarily fantasy, but it was so... Everybody was so serious and so angry. They had one emotion. It was just anger, sadness, like no hope. And it felt so unreal. You feel detached from shows like that. Like a show like The Last Kingdom, that was great too. And they had great humor. And you loved the characters. You know, the plot could be a little, great, we're going to go over here, we're going to do this, but as long as you were with the characters, man, that's with Uhtred, son of Uhtred, Lord of Bebbanburg. It was great. You get a chance to watch The Last Kingdom on Netflix. It's amazing. I love it. It's a great show. It's an underrated show. Did not get the respect it deserved. So many great actors and actresses, and you remember who these characters are. They make such an impression on you. If you like, you know, it's about the Saxon stories, about how England became England, how it was a bunch of tiny kingdoms, how the Danes, the Vikings, they came, they were having the fights and skirmishes with the Vikings, and Uhtred, he's a Lord of Bebbanburg, but he gets raised by Vikings, so he's conflicted between the life of being a Dane and being an Englishman. It's so good. You guys are going to love it. And the thing, it doesn't take itself too seriously. There's humor, there's jokes. Everybody shits on each other. They give each other shit the whole episode. And it's funny because it's real. They act like real human beings. And sometimes when everybody's pissed off and angry all the time, there's no joke, there's no humor, there's nothing. You feel like you. It's almost alien. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. There's no humor? I know we're watching a drama. I know there's a lot of murder and bloodshed and sorrow. But in the sour, we find humor. We find comedy. We find levity. We look at the light, the bright things, the bright side of life, you know? And that's what I feel is missing a little bit with House of the Dragon. There was nowhere near enough jokes, levity, humor, nothing. And it was all serious, all brooding. We got to get through this dialogue and then through this dialogue. And then it just felt like, you know, like it took itself way too serious. And that's a problem I have with these shows when they take themselves way too fucking serious. You're riding dragons around, bro. You got long, flowy white hair. You're all incestual. You know, come on. It's ripe for jokes. It's ripe for funny. Give me some funny. I like the funny. And hopefully, you know, the show improves. Usually with an HBO show, they will improve. And I hope it has time. I don't know if it's just going to be one season because I don't know how long they're going to stretch out the Civil War, how much more story they could have. But that was the problem with Game of Thrones. They ran out of story. They ran out of source material. The show started going sideways and it started sinking. But hopefully with The House of the Dragon, it's a one-off. It's a one-off. It's fine. They have so many other stories to tell. I mean, in the tank, as long as it's a good one-off, bring some funny. Knock, knock jokes. Somebody slips on a fucking banana peel. Do it. It's not that big a deal. Somebody's puking because they drank too much wine. Give me something. Somebody's going to fart. Let the dragon fart. Let him fart, then let us farts on fire. He's a fire-breathing dragon. Do something funny. That's all I beg you. Don't take yourself too damn seriously. The great shows, they know how to to place humor into the right places. And I'm not saying it's a model to follow, but the Marvel movies and that universe, they do it all the time. They don't take themselves too seriously, and it works. People like it. They go and see it over. I know it's kind of a slog, and it's the same crap over and over again, but sometimes the plot doesn't matter as much as the characters. And for shows like this, I think that's the case. And I just want them to think, what made Game of Thrones so successful? What made it so special? It was the characters. And it was the conflict. And it was making them human. It was humanizing them in a fantastic world with dragons and magic and potions and spells and demons. We cared most about the humans and their limitations, their mortality. We cared when they were hurt, when they were suffering, when they died. We cared about who died. It was devastating for people because it felt real. You know, it felt like you were losing a part of it. You know, it's fake. It's all fake and bullshit. But you feel when they would die. The big deaths every year. Oh, nobody's safe. That's what made Game of Thrones special, the characters. That's all I want from the House of the Dragon to think of. I just hope that, you know, future episodes, for the sake of the show and the viewers, that they pay attention to the character development and how much we should care about these characters. And we should care that they fart and that they slip on banana peels and that they do something funny. Knock-knock jokes, whatever you got it. Chicken crossing the road, I'll take it. You know, it gives us a break from being so goddamn serious and just being so brooding and so stupid and mumbling all your dialogue because you want to be super serious. Come on, that's dumb. That's dumb, man. That's the best way to kill a show. To make it unwatchable for the dummies like me. And the dummies like you. It's like they don't respect you. They're going to make the stupid show that they want and they're not going to consider the audience watching it. Okay, that's all I had to say about The House of the Dragon. That was probably the most notable show I watched this week. Nothing else really coming out. I mean, you guys care for, like, the America's Got Talent, American Ninja Warrior. Shows are okay. They're more for kids, more for moms. America's Got Talent, man. Feels like these acts have been on so many shows already. Like, they're just going through the motions. Like the singing acts, the Japanese dancing acts, the African dancers, African singers, these acts from around the world. It's like we ran out of talent here. And that's fine. You know, we're not as talented as these other people. I swear. But anyway, the state of TV, it's looking pretty good in the fall. There's some decent shows, and I hope Yellow Jackets comes back. I don't know if you guys have heard of Yellow Jackets. That's a very good show on Showtime. If you got Showtime now, you just watch it. It's great. It's got Christina Ricci. It's got Melanie Lynskey. It's got a lot of 90s, your 90s favorites. It's got, what's her name from, it's eating Gilbert Grape. Juliette Lewis. It's so good. It's really good. I was surprised. I was like, who is this? It's a show about this soccer team. They're going to nationals. The plane crashes. Cannibalism ensues. Cannibalism and madness. And it's really cool. And they survived. And now it shows them back when they were young, when they're old, a little bit of now and then. It's really interesting. I got to tell you, those are my recs. If you guys haven't seen Last Kingdom, Netflix, Yellow Jackets, Showtime, you can get it through Amazon Prime. If you have DirecTV, you know, add Showtime. Oh, and also the show by Melissa Baer. She's a comedian. She's formerly of Saturday Night Live. Let me get the name of the show. It's she's a little bit like, she's a 30-something. She's lost. She doesn't really know what she wants to do with her life. She's working at Costco with her mom and dad. She had cancer when she was a kid, but she doesn't have it anymore. But as a way to, you know, get that thing out of her mind, the cancer stuff, she would watch QVC and her hero, Molly Shannon. So when she's old, she says, screw it, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to follow my dreams. She goes and auditions for the QVC type network. She gets it, and it's awesome. And, you know, it's a good show. It's well-written. It's a light half-hour comedy. I Love That For You is what it's called. I Love That For You. It's also on Showtime. You guys are going to enjoy it. Vanessa Bayer, Molly Shannon. It's a good show. Like I say, you're going to like the characters. They're quirky. They're crazy. They're over the top. And it's light. It's not too heavy. There's no violence. There's a little bit of sex, but it's funny. And it's good. You know, you can always appreciate a well-written, funny show. And it has some heart. And these characters that they have to, you know, where they're going to go in their lives, where they're going to go, where they're going to change. So those are my recs. Yellow Jackets on Showtime. I Love That For You on Showtime. The Last Kingdom on Netflix. And if you get a chance to watch House of the Dragon, just tell me what you guys think. You liked it. You loved it. You hated it. You couldn't bring it to yourself to watch it because you're too disappointed with Game of Thrones. I want to hear it all. If you have any issues, you can write. I'm going to write it in the comments for this episode. You can tell me what you thought. If that's what you guys want to do. Anyway, getting close to the end here. Anything good? Maybe next episode will be in a few days. Like I tell you, I'm going to keep these up. These episodes are going to come hot and heavy, fast and fun. That's the way the West is won, and I'm going to rap for a little fun. You hear me now, you hear me then. My name ain't Glenn. Okay, stupid rap to end the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you later. Have a good one.